Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. And it's a joy to be with you today. And in a very short time, we're going to be celebrating, or commemorating, if you will, the resurrection of our Lord. Oh, and I know there may be some that say, well, don't you know this isn't the date that Jesus arose? It wasn't the time of year. Well, for my house, if you will, for me and my house, I believe that we should enjoy and appreciate the 2,000-year-old tradition that Christians who have named the name of the Lord remembered this joyous occasion, the most important event really in our faith, that which undergirds everything, that Jesus in fact is alive. He did rise from the grave. And so as the Lord would lead and direct in these next several broadcasts, we're just going to be sharing some thoughts, looking about that period of time in the gospel story regarding the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But for today, I'd like to begin by looking at one of the disciples, and that by name would be Peter. But before we do, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege we have to come together and learn about you, to experience your presence. And Lord, even now I ask you to touch the heart and lives of everyone who's listening, those that need your strength and encouragement and your support. Holy Spirit, it is your role, your function to comfort, to lead, to guide, and to direct. And so, Lord, you see every pain, you see every burden, you see every care that your beloved is carrying. With your gentle presence, minister to them, bring peace to their heart and comfort to their soul, knowing that you are a God who loves them intimately and passionately, and to the extent that you withheld heaven's most precious gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, and sent him to earth that we could be restored and reunited with you. So thank you, Lord, for your work and ministry even now, and we give you honor and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, we'd like to look at one of my favorite apostles, disciples, and that was Peter. And his given name was Simon. And if you recall from the gospel story, when he was first introduced to Jesus, he was surnamed Cephas or Peter. Remember, the Lord addressed him and he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Well, there was a little play on words there, because that word Peter that was used for his name meant a fragment or of a stone or a pebble, whereas when he spoke about upon this rock, he was referring to himself, the great rock, and that it would be upon the Lord Jesus that his church would be built. And Peter's home was in Capernaum, which was located on the Sea of Galilee. And he's a simple but likable fellow, and he certainly had native ability, and he had the gift of leadership, and he really loved the Lord. On one occasion, if you recall, it was he who immediately responded, stood to his feet, and boldly testified that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember, that was in Matthew 16:16. In fact, Jesus was sort of precipitating the whole situation. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And right away, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Son Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Praise God. So Peter was a strong leader, but also he was an imperfect man, as we all are, and I trust that we can all relate to him. Maybe not the same weaknesses, but the fact is that he had many failings and yet was beloved of the Lord. One of those weaknesses was impulsiveness. He was prone to speak before thinking. That's something some of us may all be guilty of. For example, during the night before the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus, the Lord told his disciples sadly, as they sat at the table, that as a group they would be persecuted and scattered. And as he spoke, Peter blurted out and said that even if all the rest of the disciples were to forsake him, he would never be guilty of it. And the Lord looked upon him, he turned and predicted that before the morning cock should crow twice, that Peter would deny him three times. And that's exactly what happened. The Lord was apprehended just outside of Gethsemane, and he was first taken to the home of Annas, and then later to the home of Caiaphas. And Peter followed in the crowd, but he was far back where he could scarcely be seen. And so finally, he arrived at the place where the Lord was being falsely tried, and he joined a group of servants and soldiers and observers around a fire that was keeping him warm. And so as we go to Luke, the 22nd chapter, if we go to verse 54, let me just share that with you. And they then took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And so as those flames plainly illumined his face, Peter was asked if he were a follower of this Jesus too, and his answer was a flat no. And he was pointed out as a Galilean who resembled a disciple, but the only response was a further denial on Peter's part. And the third time, he spoke with oaths and cursing. And at that moment, as Peter was denying the Lord for a final time, he happened to look toward the room where the Lord was being tried. And the word says, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. In fact, that's verse 61. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, can you imagine how he must have felt? How dark those days must have been for Peter, not only at present time that he was in, the confusion, the guilt, the sorrow, their whole world had collapsed around them. Even though the Lord had tried to prepare them and told them in advance that he was going to be crucified, yet he would rise from the dead, yet it seemed to be just hidden from their understanding. And so he was plagued by his accusing conscience, and they all were despairing and fearful, feeling that the entire purpose, the entire mission of Jesus had been a failure. But a ray of hope came to his contrite heart when the Lord, on that wonderful resurrection morning, sent him a special message. In Mark, the 16th chapter, verse 7, Jesus said, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." This is, of course, what the angel said. And so we see that Peter was encouraged even before he actually saw the Lord. And of course, later, there was a personal meeting. And as the risen Lord gently probed the heart of Peter, he forgave him and commissioned him for that great work that he was going to be doing through him. In John, the 21st chapter, verse 15, it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' And he said, 'Yes, Lord.' And he said, 'Feed my lambs.' And he did that three times." And we see the Lord's marvelous grace in his choice of Peter as the preacher on that great day of Pentecost where 3,000 were added to the church. Peter stood up, and that's recorded in the second chapter of Acts, verse 14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Praise God. Beloved, we can, all of us, in some ways, identify with the failings of Peter. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I feel the Holy Spirit is ministering to someone right now that is really wrestling with guilt. And 1 John 1 and 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Right now, if you're wrestling with guilt and condemnation, let the Lord touch you. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, "My beloved, I am faithful, and I am just to forgive you all of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." But because of your guilt, life has held no joy. Because of the condemnation you've walked in, life has had no peace. Because of conviction of sin, life has had no refreshing for you. You're weary with the heaviness of your guilt, but you need not stand condemned and defeated, for there is cleansing and there is forgiveness and there is renewing. You need not repeat your confession of failure over and over and over again, but come to me, pour out your heart before me, confess your sins, acknowledge your wrongdoing, and look to me as the lover of your soul, as a friend who is closer than a brother, as a father who loves to bless and draw nigh his child. From my hand, receive the assurance that your sins have been blotted out, that your failures have been removed, and that your wrongdoing has been eradicated. I have promised in my word that I will put all your sins behind my back, but my back is not as yours, because I'm everywhere. I see everything and hear all and know all, and I fill the heavens with my presence. But my back is my mercy, and when you confess your sins to me, in mercy I remove them out of my sight." Once you've confessed your sins to me, they are blotted out. You're not to remember them, even as I don't remember them. Beloved, come to me, and you shall have newness of life, newness of joy, newness of spirit, and a praise in your heart, says your God. Thank you, Lord. Well, my time has come to an end, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. Please join me tomorrow at this same time. Until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.